Welcome in to the Locked On Knicks podcast, OG duo Gavin Shaw, Alex Wolf, and Alex. We are continuing LaMelo Ball week, or at least I'll call it LaMelo Ball stretch, because I don't know what the rest of this week will hold, but these two episodes are very, very LaMelo Ball heavy. We get into a mock draft that has the Knicks snagging LaMelo Ball at 8. Whether or not that is actually feasible, well, we'll discuss it.
Yeah, and, you know, there's some dubious circumstances that would have to come into play, particularly him getting past Detroit. But we do outline a case where, you know, Detroit, either rightly or wrongly, might pass him up in favor of another player of a different position to try to sort of angle themselves towards the 2021 draft a little better than if they took LaMelo Ball potentially. And then we get into a mock trade that we got on Twitter. And, you know, it's a trade for the Knicks to move up to try to get LaMelo Ball. And, you know, I don't think that we ultimately decided that it would be one that we would be interested in, but it was the rare three-way trade that at least gave us pause and made us think about it for a second and whether the Knicks would potentially be into the idea. So I won't spoil what it is. You just have to listen next on Locked On Knicks.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I think we see Willis coming out. There he comes right now.
Starts with a five. Ewing for the win. Yes.
Thompson cuts left. Now fires a three.
And he's good. And he's fouled. And he makes
it. Anthony for three.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast. Alex, what are we starting off with today?
Yeah, there was just I just wanted to run this by you. I saw this mock draft when I saw it, I was just like, this can't be serious. It had LaMelo Ball falling to the Knicks. And, like, I'll just read off the players that go before. And then, basically, I just want, like, your reaction of if you think this is even remotely possible. Like, my inclination is no, it's not. This one came from NBC Sports, which, specifically, I'm looking at it on the NBC Bay Area site. But it's on NBC Sports. And it had Anthony Edwards go number one. James Wiseman number two to the Warriors.
Yeah, that's already red. I wish I had a beeper, but yeah, that's already red flag to me, because even though a lot of people were positing that initially, that like that would make a lot of sense. And again, there are a lot of very smart draft people who still have Wiseman as one of the top two or three prospects. So I don't want to say it's completely insane, but he just does not strike me as a quote unquote Warriors pick or a Bob Myers pick, just because of the aforementioned processing speed issues. Like they seem to fixate on taking smart players, and they almost fetishize it with Joe Lacob's whole light years ahead bullshit. But I can't imagine they would take Wiseman. If they do, I would say that's a really good sign for Wiseman.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I could maybe see we've talked about a number of times, and we're going to talk about in a minute, you know, scenarios of potentially where Mitchell Robinson would, you know, end up there.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I guess if you believe in Wiseman's defensive potential, that he could be on a level like Mitch, then maybe you make that deal. But I personally don't. I think you and I are on the same page when we say, like, I don't think that's going to happen.
I just can't see him guarding on the perimeter the same
yeah,
way.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Mitch legitimately can guard the perimeter. And yeah, I don't think that.
The argument for Wiseman is unlike Mitch. He can sort of go mano a mano with someone like Joel Embiid, and maybe not right now, but after a few years, not get completely bulldozed. But I think, I mean, the point is, for the playoffs, again, which is what we're always talking about, Mitch's skill set on defense is a lot more valuable.
Yep. And so then moving right along, number three, Charlotte Hornets take Obi Toppin, which, you know, it's funny, like, if it was almost any other team, I'd be like, man, I don't think any team is going to take Obi number three. But considering it's the Hornets and it's Michael Jordan, who consistently Well, I mean, all right, Jordan's not actually in charge of their scouting and stuff, but if I get the feeling that Obi is the type of player that Michael Jordan would, like, go to his GM, which it's sad. I don't even know who the GM is.
It's Mitch Kupchak, the Lakers.
Oh, it is Kupchak. All right. Well, actually, I could see Mitch Kupchak being attracted to Obi Toppin, too. And, you know, in that case, I could absolutely see that pick happening where they would just be, like, drawn in by the accolades and the offensive prowess and just sort of forget about the other side of the ball. Which is really ironic because Jordan was like one of the best two-way players ever.
Yeah.
The best two-way player ever.
Yeah. what you're getting at, I think, is they always take college All-Americans. They love taking guys who were really good, no matter how old they are. Guys who either went to blue blood programs or just had great statistical college careers is what they always do.
Such as Frank Kaminsky, who famously they could have traded that pick for like 3 first-round picks to Boston.
I think it was four.
Yeah. Let Boston take Justice Winslow and move down like 4 or 5.
So both sides were stupid, essentially. And Charlotte saved Boston from themselves.
Yeah, exactly. That one actually I could see happening, even though it's not the move I would make. I could definitely see that. Killian goes to the Bulls. You know, I don't know how likely that would be that they would take Killian over LaMelo, but if they're in love with Killian, then sure, I could see that. Yeah.
It only tracks in that, like, their backcourt with Kobe White and Zach LaVine is already so weighted towards offense that Hayes would be a better fit, even if they think LaMelo is a better prospect.
Mm-hmm. And then Cleveland takes Denny, which I think is the one thing that I fully agree with on this, that, like, I think that's where Denny goes, period. And then the Hawks take Okoro. That is another one that I could see realistically happening. I think that they're probably the biggest threat to Okoro making it to the Knicks, so I could see that happening. But then the one that, so all right, we're almost there, right? LaMelo is like almost to the Knicks, and this is like semi somewhat feasible up to this point where they have Detroit take Okongwu and then the Knicks end up with LaMelo, and I just really don't see it. I don't think that something tells me that Detroit, who is maybe the only other team that is as like point guard starved as the Knicks, is not going to let LaMelo freaking ball get by them to the Knicks in favor of taking Onyeka Okongwu, who, like, I think is going to be really talented and really good, and would certainly then, if the draft played out this way, would give the Knicks a really hard decision at number 8 about, you know, best player available versus fit and all that, and maybe brings up that same scenario where we're talking about, you know, you could talk the Wizards into trading up one spot to get Okongwu, but, like, I can't see Detroit taking him, and you know, it's, they say for their justification, they say as far as team needs, Detroit hit the reset button at the deadline, dealing away Drummond and waiving Reggie Jackson, left him with massive holes at point guard and center to go with massive holes at shooting guard and small forward. Why Okongwu? Detroit should be in teardown mode, and Okongwu is a nice reset piece, plays hard on both ends, might even be able to piggyback the team to a couple extra wins like he did at USC. The road back to relevance could be long for Detroit, but making smart moves for players with some fight is a good start. My only way that I could justify them making this move is if, just from an optics perspective, they already see themselves tanking for next year's draft, and next year's draft is going to be heavy on guard talent, and, like, if their goal is to get Cade Cunningham, he's going to be, like, the lead ball handler on whatever team he goes to, period. He's going to be their point guard, done and done. You know, there's not going to be any room for argument there. So maybe they're already, I mean, like, we're talking about the Knicks already looking towards 2021. The only way I could see the Pistons making this move is if they're like, we want to lean hard into tanking this year.
Yeah. And
so we're going to take, you know, the center, who's not necessarily the piece that jumpstarts your rebuild and starts putting you on the path to relevancy, but we know is going to be a good player, you know, over probably I could see Okongwu having like a 10-year NBA career easily. You know, so we're going to pass on LaMelo and avoid that headache in a year when, you know, if we get the number one pick and we get Cade Cunningham, we don't want to have to deal with a situation. It would almost be like a Dallas situation where you had, you know, Luka come in and then you already had DSJ on the roster. And, you know, DSJ had shown some promise the year before, which I'm sure that LaMelo would this year if he was on the Pistons. But then you add Luka to the team, and it's like, now Luka's getting the ball in his hands, period, because he's better than you. And then it leads to you know, LaMelo, I don't think, would know what to do without the ball in his hands. And it would kind of be a disaster. So I think that's, and I mean, that is such a far-fetched and stupid way to look at the draft. But if Detroit wanted to look at it that way, I think that's the only possible way I could ever see that happening, where they take Okongwu over LaMelo and LaMelo actually gets to the Knicks. As a reminder, today's show is brought to you by rockauto.com. If you are a home mechanic like me, then there's probably nothing you look forward to less than going to the auto parts store, because it's just generally not a fun experience. You go into the store, they ask you all these questions. You probably do too, because like, what did you do before you came in here? You watched a YouTube video, you got the name of a part that you needed for your car, and you're all ready to just do this little minor repair yourself, but all you need is the part, you know? And you go into the store then, they start asking you all these questions you don't know the answer to, and you try to just politely be like, dude, I'm just here for the part that I need. And then inevitably you finally get to the point where you tell them the part that you need and they say, oh, we don't have it in stock. And then, oh, we have to special order it for you. It's going to be, you know, a number of days, a week, maybe 2 weeks, who knows? And then you get the bill and you go, whoa, man, I probably should have just gone to the mechanic because it just cost me so much just this part. And now I have to put in the effort myself to fix this when this was supposed to just be kind of a fun project to save me a little bit of money from going to the mechanic. Well, luckily that is where rockauto.com steps into the equation. If you use rockauto.com, you never have to go through that again, because the one thing that you know from rockauto.com is they're always going to have the lowest prices. They're always going to give you the lowest price that they possibly can, and not be looking out for mechanics and things of that nature like the auto parts stores do, that you can go into in your town or wherever. They are always rockauto.com will always give you the best price and ship it right to your door, so you don't have to make another trip back to the store when it comes in there. And they're always going to take care of you. They're a family run business and they always have your best interest in mind as the customer. On top of that, all their site is super easy to go through. You just go to rockauto.com. You'll be greeted by a list of every make of car that you could possibly think of. Click on your make, then you click on the year and your model of car, and then the trim package for that year. And you're greeted with a super easy to sort through list of the parts that you need for your car. And you might even end up just finding some other part that you need too, because you'll be like, oh, well, I thought this was going to cost me X amount of dollars, and now it's only going to cost me, you know, 2/3 of that. So maybe I'll get another part and do another cosmetic upgrade to my car or something. Who knows? Head to rockauto.com and see. And I tell you what, if you end up picking up something on rockauto.com, which if you're at all in the market for car parts, you probably will, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
Yeah, I think I'd throw out, I'm actually not sure if LaMelo would make them that much better than Okongwu would, just because I think Okongwu walks in as, like, at the very least an average, pretty close to average defense from day one and a good offensive player. While LaMelo, I guess offensively would be a big boon for them in terms of his passing, but just because he is so far to go as a shooter, like, I think he's going to be like a disaster shooting from deep next year. Like we're talking like 28% on maybe like 7 attempts per game. Maybe even lower than that. And then defensively, we'll be right there with Trae Young as like one of the worst defensive players in basketball next year, unless he just made major, major progress physically and mentally over the course of this offseason. So I don't know. I don't really buy that. But here's where I think this scenario is interesting, Alex. I think if LaMelo gets to 6, both Detroit and New York will already have scenarios worked out with Atlanta. And Atlanta will just have to pick which trade they prefer between the two. And the dream scenario for the Knicks is if Detroit, to your point, if for some reason they're not willing to give up a ton and they're like, we don't really want to mortgage anything with 2021. And the Knicks can just say, hey, we'll throw you the Clippers pick to move up 2 spots, which in a vacuum is very fair, because Atlanta still walks away with one of Okoro or Vassell. And if I'm the Hawks, I'm thrilled with that, because that's all they're trying to do is surround Trae Young with the best defenders possible and guys who can hold their own offensively. And Vassell would give them even more shooting. Like, I'd love a combo of Trae, Vassell, Herter, one of Reddish and Hunter, and then Capella or John Collins at center. Like, that's a really interesting core. If Atlanta can come out of this draft with either Okoro or Vassell, they have one of, like, the better, like, set bases for a future of any team in the NBA if those guys hit. So I think for Atlanta, that's fine. But Atlanta knows, they say, hey, that's great and all, but we have this major bargaining chip in LaMelo Ball right now. And they're going to be teams, if he's at six, they're going to be teams all throughout the first round saying, hey, we'll give you our 2021 pick and we'll throw you this young player. Like, all of a sudden, there's going to be like a feeding frenzy to try to get up to that pick. So I'm not sure if the Knicks could get away with only offering the Clippers pick. I think it would have to be the Clippers pick and the Mavs pick next year, or and the Mavs pick in 2023. Or if you're the Knicks, all of a sudden you're going to have to put a protected 2021 pick on the table, which is where it starts getting pretty iffy. But
the only thing I'll say in response to that is we are talking about the same dumb front office that gave up Luka Doncic for like nothing. So,
well, for Trae Young, Trae Young is really good.
I mean, for Trae Young, but also like the only, so actually it's a strikingly similar scenario in the sense that they only asked for a, I don't even think it was was that Dallas pick protected? I think it was like top five protected or something.
Yeah.
For 2019. I mean, they asked for,
was it top five? I don't even remember.
I think it might have been top five. I don't know. But at any rate, they got back the 2019 pick from Dallas.
Yeah.
And now
it ended up being the eighth pick is what it ended up being.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they ended up with, 8-10 last year?
They traded up to four. And they used
8-16 to trade up to four or something like that.
Yeah.
Because they wound up holding on to 10, which is what they took Reddish with.
Yeah.
It's an interesting scenario. I guess we'll have to see, but that would be one of the more it would be sort of akin to, like, remember when Nerlens Noel fell to six, and that was where like Philly started the whole, you know, the process was, that was with New Orleans' pick, wasn't it? Because they sent Drew to New Orleans.
That sounds right.
And got back number six, which they used to take Noel. And Noel had largely been considered the number one prospect in the draft. Granted, he had the ACL tear, which was what made him slide. But, like, far and away, he was considered the best talent in that draft. So it could be kind of a similar scenario to that. It'd be really interesting to see play out. Gavin, do you want to get into the mock trade that we got tweeted, though, that you wanted to get into here? Do you want to lay that one out for us? Do you ever just feel like there's a wall you can't break through, whether it's mental or physical? You can break through it with Built Go every day, because Built Go makes you the best you at whatever you do. Built Go is easy to take. It's 1.5 ounce little squeezy packages. You can throw them in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever. You put it in your golf bag to power through the back nine, or you can put it in your pocket to just get you through the day, whatever comes up. It is the best workout gel on the market. You've probably heard of 5-hour energy, and if you've ever taken it before, you know that crash that you get from that. There's no crash off of Built Go, and it's all natural ingredients, so it's better for your body. And it comes in three delicious flavors. It comes in peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. I have been particularly fond of the peanut butter honey flavor. It tastes exactly like what it says it tastes like, and you know, it's a fantastic and tasty thing to have right before my workout. And honestly, my workouts have been going great since I started taking Built Go. You know, I've been getting back to the gym now that COVID is sort of figured out in a way that gyms can open safely, at least in my area, thankfully. And you know, I've been taking Built Go before my workouts, and I've been finding I've been getting more reps. I feel like I have more energy. And I even have more energy left over to do some extra cardio after I do my weights routine. So it's been a really good experience so far since I've been taking Built Go. And how does it work so well? Well, Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into your system fast. Plus, it's easy on the stomach. Built Go is also loaded with good stuff to ignite your work, like beta-alanine, B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine, which, all those things are natural ingredients. It's important to note. And it also gives you a vitamin kick to keep you going strong. Has a blast of vitamins B6 and B12, 10,000% of your daily value. The collagen protein also promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. So You know, on top of giving you energy, Built Go literally makes you look better. So if you're interested in some Built Go, which how could you not be if you're an active individual, visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED and you'll get 20% off your next order. Again, use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go.
Yeah,
kind of a totally different scenario while we're talking about trade-ups.
Right, and this is an interesting one because you and I, we conferred a little bit before the show and we were generally in agreement we wouldn't do this, but I think this is a rare, like when people propose three-way trades on Twitter, I'm always like the first person to start like poking holes in it and saying, okay, but here's why this team wouldn't do it, here's why this is infeasible, you're an idiot, this is ridiculous. I think this is a pretty good one. It's from Cookie Monster at Grappling Glia, I think that's how you pronounce that. Twitter, and in this scenario, the Knicks would get the number 2 overall pick, and I'm going to throw in the qualifier that I'm assuming the Knicks do this contingent on them having great intel that Minnesota is going to take Anthony Edwards. So the Knicks are really getting LaMelo Ball, Eric Paschal, Kevon Looney. The Phoenix Suns are getting the 8th pick in the draft and creating cap room. This guy suggests that they would sign Jeremy Grant and Joe Harris. I think that's very optimistic that the Suns would come out of this with like two of the most coveted, like second or third tier free agents out of this whole class, but sure. So the Suns rebuild with this money. The Warriors are getting Kelly Oubre, Frank Ntilikina, Mitchell Robinson, and the Clippers first round pick via the Knicks. So Alex, you and I were both in agreement that ultimately this would just be a little bit too steep for the Knicks, because we've debated multiple times whether we would trade Mitchell Robinson, sans the 8th pick, straight up for number 2. And we're both sort of like, I wouldn't feel good about it. No, it depends on the day, right? Then you're adding in Frank, who we just did a whole episode arguing why he's underrated. And then the Clippers first round pick and the 8th pick as well. It's a little bit rich. And on paper, you're also getting back Eric Paschal, who was first team, all rookie this year, put up really good stats, 14 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists per game, made nearly half his shots, had a monster game. He had a 34-point, 14-rebound game against Portland. Like, he's a pretty good player. And I think he's going to be, like, he's a little bit like poor man's David West, poor man's Paul Millsap, not quite as good defensively as either of those two guys. Like, there are reasons to like Eric Paschal. I just think if I'm the Knicks, like, again, like we just keep talking about this. I really like having a base of Frank and Mitch. And that sounds weird because, again, everything in the modern NBA is shooting, shooting, shooting. But with what those two bring defensively, like if I'm coming off those two guys, like that should almost be the end of the deal for me. For getting LaMelo Ball, who obviously incredibly, incredibly high upside. And that's sort of the argument here for the Knicks. Like if you're super high on LaMelo Ball, you just have to take the swing. Because right now you don't have that star guy. He could be that star guy. He has a ceiling that RJ Barrett doesn't have. He has a ceiling that Mitchell Robinson doesn't have. Everything else be damned. You're not giving up an all-star. Just make the trade. So if you think he's that guy, then you do this. And you sleep pretty well at night and you're happy that you pick up an extra asset in Paschal. But if you don't think that he's that guy and you look at him and you say the jump shot is really, really iffy, the defense is really, really iffy, I don't know if he's going to translate all the way. I don't think he's going to hit a ceiling. I can't possibly do this. Then you don't do the trade. And I think you and I, Alex, on LaMelo, both come down a little bit closer to saying the ceiling is there. I see a world where he can hit it. I just don't think it's exceptionally likely that he gets there. And because of that, this is a little too much.
Yeah, I'm with you. I wouldn't do this. You know, as you said, we've already had lengthy debates about, like, would you trade Mitch for number 2, would you trade Mitch and 8 for number 2? Like, this is a deal that I could see the rationale for every team but the Knicks. The Suns make out like crazy, crazy good here. They dump, you know, Oubre, who presumably, you know, they want to dump just to create more cap space to try to get better around Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton and the team that went 8-0 in the bubble. And not only do they execute their salary dump, but they get the second best pick available in this whole trade deal. The Knicks, you know, they get the best pick that's available, but Paschal, I think, is going to be fine. I think he's going to be a good enough NBA player, but I think that part of his stats, like his counting stats, especially being so good this year, was playing on a really, really bad team. I mean, a team that had the number 1 lottery odds this year by a pretty wide margin. Because the Warriors just, they sucked this year. They were really bad. And they they made no, you know, there was no pretense about them trying not to suck after about the first like 2 weeks of the season. Once Steph got hurt and all that stuff, you know, they just were like, yeah, we're going to suck now. And that's it. And we're going to play all these young guys. So we're going to let them take their lumps. And Pascal was one of those guys. And, you know, he looked pretty good, but I don't think that he's a crazy, you know, deal altering type of player that would make me okay with giving up then. Like, let's put it this way. If we were to break this into segments, would I give up Mitch straight up for the second pick? Maybe. It's possible. Would I give up Mitch and the eighth pick for the second pick? That's probably about where I draw the line at this point, where I don't think that I would. And then it's like, okay, so if that's the case, then it's like Mitch matches up with the second overall pick. So now you're shipping out the eighth pick also. Does that eighth pick, like, does Pascal take away the sting of giving up that eighth pick, like, much, if at all?
Nah.
Not really, not for me. I mean, that's a guy that went in the second round last year, and not to say that I don't think he, not to say that good players don't come out of the second round that people miss, but I don't think that he's going to be a better player long term than, say, whatever player the Knicks could get with the Clippers first round pick, which they're also giving up in this deal. So then it's like, all right, now you're talking about like 8 and 27 or roughly equating out to Pascal here. And that's like way too much. And then it's like, if I was given a trade offer of Frank Ntilikina for Kevon Looney straight up, I would not take that trade because, I mean, Looney's not exactly paid, you know, super high or anything, but neither is Frank yet. You know, there's still some time to figure out Frank. And like, I think Frank plays a much more in-demand position, which is a wing defender, with a bunch of skills that we still haven't fully seen fleshed out yet and don't know where he's going to end up in total. Whereas Looney, I think you can make pretty safe assumptions that he just kind of is who he is at this point and doesn't really have too much room for growth. And like, your overall team construction after this, I think, takes a huge hit from the fact that, you know, you could have walked away from the draft with, let's say, Vassell at number eight. Let's just say, you know, be optimistic, say, you know, you get Devin Vassell. You could have had still Frank on the team, still Mitch anchoring your defense as your center. And then whoever you take at 27, I don't know who it would be. Let's just say it's a point guard. We'll say Grant, like,
Riller. Grant Riller.
Sure, it could be Riller. Let's say Riller. So you walk away with Riller then too. So you get a solid scoring bench guard. So now, you know, you have those two players that you could have drafted and those two players that were entrenched on the team already that give you really good balance defensively, offensively, whatever. And you're trading them then for LaMelo Ball, who has a lot of question marks about him, as you said. And then Pascal, who's, I think, going to be fine, but, you know, isn't going to offer any of the same things that you were getting out of Mitchell Robinson or Frank Ntilikina, especially on the defensive end. And I don't know if he's elevating your offense so much that it would ever be able to, you know, accommodate for losing those two huge defensive players and presences there. And then Kevon Looney, who's like, yes, he's a fine defender and all that, but he's no Mitchell Robinson. Like, he's not going to anchor your defense. He's basically the big body that the Warriors throw out there when they have to face guys like Joel Embiid, you know, because Draymond Green, you know, gets into foul trouble and stuff if he has to guard those guys too long. But like, even on the Warriors, Looney isn't ideally out there playing huge minutes and closing games and things of that nature. He's kind of just like the big body that they throw out there when other teams go big. And he holds his own, but he's not like, you know, he's not on some higher level or something. Yeah. But yeah, so I don't think I would do this at all. And even if you took away, I'm trying to think, even if you took away the Clippers first or Frank, I still don't think I would do it. Just because I really don't, I don't know. It's just something weird, and it would just feel dirty. Like, even if it was only for Mitch in the eighth pick, I would still have a lot of reservations about making that deal.
Yeah, I just feel like you're losing, like, right now you have this, it's really hard to get impact defenders, like guys who, again, can make a difference in the playoffs. And the Knicks have two of them right now in Frank and Mitch. And to lose both of them, plus all your picks in this draft, in a draft where they're, again, like if you're trading up for Luka Doncic, then yeah, give the farm. I don't quite think LaMelo's that guy. Only thing I'd throw out is like maybe you take the 27th pick out of this, and to your point, the Suns really aren't giving up quite enough. If you're also getting maybe Cam Johnson, that becomes a little more intriguing. I mean, I think he is a little bit of latent Duncan Robinson type potential, maybe a little bit worse as a shooter, but has a bit more in transition and off the dribble. Like I think he's a really good and underrated player just because he was so old when he got taken out of North Carolina. But anyone who watched him in the bubble knows that he's really, really good shooter and exactly the type of guy that the Knicks have been looking for. Like he definitely has some, he's not nearly in the class of a defender as Vassell, but if anything, he's a little bit better shooter and offensively has some similar qualities. So that would make this a little bit more interesting for me, but ultimately I'm with you, Alex. It's just like, it's a little too much here. It's a little bit too much there. I just feel kind of icky about it. But anyways, this went a lot longer than we anticipated. So this is a good note to wrap up on.
Yeah. So we'll wrap up for today. We do have another episode that was inspired by a tweet that we got directed to us coming up tomorrow. So keep an eye out for that. We're going to be breaking down with news that the NBA is allowing teams to start talking to players and bringing them in for in-person interviews. We're going to break down the top three players that we would want the Knicks to bring in for their first prospect interviews. So that's coming up tomorrow. But in the meantime, enjoy the rest of your day, and we will talk to you tomorrow. Peace out.